it is.
Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
What's up, people? Once again, this is Speaker Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know It All. And I'm joined today by my man, Eastside Jam. What's good, man?
What's going on, man? It's been a while.
Hell yeah, man. Last week, man, dealing with technical difficulties, you know what I mean? Had to shut it down. Computer didn't want to act right. But we back, man. Perfect time, March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of interesting stuff with that, man. I mean, I kind of got into it last night, man, but I wanted to get more in depth with it. So I wanted to get your opinions on the teams who lost and some of the teams who are winning and who you think's got a good shot.
Well, for me, I was excited to see a couple of upsets, but when it got serious for me was when Georgetown was losing. I was like, oh, man, come on, Georgetown. Y'all better than this.
Yeah.
And then when Kansas lost, it was like, oh, my bracket's done. I had Kansas winning on both my brackets. They done.
Yeah, that $1 million on that CBS or whatever it is, that website, man, I'm not getting that based on Kansas already. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
But, man, this wasn't a thing where somebody kept the game close, holding the ball, and threw up a lucky shot at the end, man. These guys were leading most of the game, pretty much outplaying the bigger teams.
Well, these guys have continuity.
Yeah.
The smaller guys got continuity, especially look at a team like Cornell. I think they got like 5 seniors. I mean,
right.
I know they don't play on scholarship anyway, so they just paying for the passion of the game anyway. But you got senior leadership out there. When you look at Ohio, they had a guy who, you know, who went to Indiana, who didn't make it in Indiana, left there. He would be probably a senior over there.
You talking about Armand Bassi? Yeah, he gave it to him, man.
Yeah. So he was a D1 recruit right there. That's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Big time recruit.
But still, though, man, it's shocking for them to get beat like that. Like you said, that continuity is a factor, though, because you're seeing teams running their systems and they're able to get the shots that they want. And these big major teams, you know, they're looking like a chicken with their head cut off at certain points. You know what I mean? They don't look crisp on offense at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, college basketball is about system. And when you see guys running their system, they've been running it. So, That's important, man.
And then you go to the other side of that where you got Kentucky with all this talent, and it's kind of that dribble drive system where you're just letting them play, and you get the opposite effect. It makes you wonder if, like, Georgetown running at Princeton, you know, might not be the best fit for them.
Yeah, well, they not precise. A lot, like you say, a lot of them, they ain't played. Now you get the same guys in there for 2-3 years at a time, and, yeah, they can probably run it. Because they athletic enough, they could probably run it in. But now you look at, like, Kentucky's system is play defense and we run.
Right.
That's a simple system to play when you got young guys, you play defense, and you got a great point guard, you can run. Hey, the only way they can be beat is you get them out of their game, make them slow it down.
And I think this week we saw – people got to see a little bit of what Eric Bledsoe can do, too. Like, a lot of people are sleeping on the kid, man. But Bledsoe can really play, too, man. That lean-in he got on the whole damn team, you might as well say. Yeah, that was serious.
Yeah. That was, it's just exciting to see a lot of these teams, man.
Yeah. You got any ideas about any predictions you want to throw out or anything? Because we got what? We got Northern Iowa still in it. Got Michigan State still in it without their starting point guard. So we got a lot of teams that, you know, they got to overcome some odds to win, get to that Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's a lot of I'm just really standing back watching now. To be honest with you, now I want to see Crawford at Xavier now. I want to see that guy, Jamal Crawford, brother over at Xavier. I want to see him play. I've never really seen him play. I want to see him ball. I just want to sit back and watch now. I want to see what everybody going to do. Is Duke for real? You know, I know they ain't got played no too many people yet, but is Duke
yeah,
for real? You know?
Duke got the good seed, but they got placed in a nice little section, man.
Well, they ain't gonna win no championship without beating nobody though. So they gotta
true.
Beat somebody.
That's true. But hell, half of it is getting there, man. So I don't know. I was amazed by it. The fact that they got it like that, man. I kind of had a little conversation yesterday with Barzy, and we were talking about. Well, I brought up the fact, you know, the controversy this year the SEC had with everybody saying they were favoring Florida and Bama to get them in that big game. This looks like the same thing with Duke.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. Call the NCAA what it is, man, but it does look shady.
Yeah, it do look shady, but hey, you know, I guess they penalizing Calipari for doing it the wrong way.
Right. They'll make him go through the gauntlet, and if he gets there, he gets there.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. It's an interesting thing, but a lot of things come from the tournament, too. Like, you know, the local chatter mostly right now is about Paul Hewitt and whether he's going to take that St. John's job or stay at Tech and basically force them to fire him within the next couple of years.
Yeah,
your thoughts on it?
To me, it's such a situation because he's kind of a nice guy, man. You know, he get good recruits. You don't see no none of his guys when they leave. You don't see none of them doing nothing stupid. They even play better as pros, to be honest with you. So it's like he's getting good guys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's getting them in there. He's getting good guys, and he's getting them to play. To me, to be honest with you, he really ain't had no big-time stars. I mean, he had Bosh, which was, you know.
Right. But that was what one and done, though, right?
Yeah, that was a one and done, and he was by himself, and then they went to the NIT. That was horrible. But then you talk about who he had after that. He had
Jared Jack.
I mean, they had an okay squad, and you look at he really ain't had no good guard play.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
I think he maximizes the talent he has. I think he does a good job developing players. Like you said, they're better when they leave. And
but he owed Morrow some millions of dollars, though. He owed Anthony Morrow a good $2 million.
Well, now, see, I would say the same thing. The only problem is, what's his name was there, Mackey was there, and he was considered the better shooter, so he got a lot more shots than Morrow did. But Morrow played a lot, though. So it's not like he was sitting on the bench while he was here. So.
Morrow started. Morrow did not play like this when he was at Georgia Tech.
No, he didn't. Every once in a while, he could get hot, but it wasn't nothing like this now to where you expect him to put up double figures. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm a Hewitt fan, man, so I think the guy's getting a raw deal down here. And I think they're going to be real disappointed when they finally do get him out of here. Think they're going to be real disappointed in what they get.
I mean, I think they may be, but at the same time, I can see it going either way. I see them, I mean, because if you look at it, the ACC, they really, it's really Duke, North Carolina.
Right.
Then you talk about, then you say Maryland, really, the next,
right.
Every now and then they came up and won. So, honestly, I mean, but at the same time, when you talk about the state of Georgia, it's always been Georgia Tech basketball.
Right, but you got to be real about the pecking order in the ACC. Like you said, man, it's Duke and Carolina, and then Maryland and Georgia Tech. Some years will have a great squad, and they'll run it. But for the most part, it's going to be Duke or Carolina. So, I mean, they can bring another guy in here, but it's going to be about the same results, up and down.
Yeah.
You're not going to consistently win in the ACC unless you're getting top-notch recruits.
But at the same time, I can understand the argument. This is Atlanta. When you talk about Atlanta and you talk about recruits, Atlanta has a lot of big-time talent. And you got to get guys – okay, if you get guys to do one and done, be Calipari about it. You know, get them guys to get the most out of them. Get to the tournament. Win, You know, the reason why Georgia Tech is out of it now because they had a poor regular season. They're not out of it to me because Ohio State was a better team that day, but they out of it to me because they had a poor regular season. They was a 10 seed. They shouldn't have had to face Ohio State that early. You see what I'm saying?
That's what they are, though. Their guards aren't good enough yet. They're young and they're not good enough yet. So
7-9 in the ACC. You're losing to Wake Forest. You're losing to the Boston College. I mean, a lot of losses when they're coming out big wins and then you lose. You know, it's just the inconsistent play. I mean, I know the guards or whatever, but it's just like, come on. If they would have had a decent ACC run, if they would have won, I'll say, what? They went 7-9. If they would have went 9-7 or even 10-6 in the ACC, and then they went to the championship game and lost to Duke, they would have been a 4-5 seed.
True.
So, I mean, that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference when you look at it like that, and then you beat you got big guys in the middle. I mean, they didn't get a lot. I mean, to me, at the end of the season, he got the most out of his guys this year. Okay, it's time to step up. We're going to play this way. But they turned the ball over too much. They couldn't inbound the ball. I mean, who do you blame that stuff on?
The players, period. I don't think you can go coach on somebody tightening up in the clutch of the game and can't beat a press or can't get the ball in and making horrible entry passes. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to bang on the coach for that one, man. So, like I said, I'm a Hewitt supporter, so I think they're making a mistake, and I think they're going to see, like I said, they're going to see the same thing when the next coach gets here, that Duke and Carolina run that, and if you get the right amount of talent there, you can run it for a couple of years, but after that, the boys will be back.
If you get that right coach, I mean, to be honest with you, if you get a good coach that can get some recruits out of the state, out of the city, you're already in Atlanta.
You can get the best Atlanta has to offer, but that still is not going to trump Duke and Carolina because they're recruiting the whole country. They can get the best from anywhere.
That's the problem. He's recruiting the country now. He can go anywhere. Paul Hewitt is a great recruiter. He can go in the country and get anybody.
Yeah, he can. He can get anybody. But Roy can come back with four of them. That's true
because it's North Carolina. But at the same time, if you can keep some of this talent home, I mean, to be honest with you, look at George on the upswing.
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot better than expected. But I mean, hey, it is what it is, man. We got to see what they do next year because the SEC was down this year. And they had a pretty decent season. So, I mean, we have to see next year. Fox is a good coach.
Fox is a good coach, but he got Travis Leslie playing way above what he's been playing.
True.
Travis Leslie, I mean, became almost a household name because of his acrobats. And then plus he developed a jumper. He had a pretty good against everybody he played this year. And then, you know, but at the same time, when I say look at Leslie, they got Leslie and Price. They came both went to my high school.
Mm.
So they recruiting out the state of, you know what I'm saying, and my high school just won the state again, Columbia. So when you
shout
look
out
at it, it's like
Columbia.
Exactly. Boys and girls won the state this year.
That's ridiculous, man.
So if you keep getting guys from there, you know what I'm saying, that's talent you're keeping in the state.
Yeah, you got to mess with the pipeline. I don't know. I think somebody can put up a fence as far as Tech or Georgia as far as getting the top Atlanta talent. But for Georgia, I think that'll be way bigger than for Tech because, like I said, Carolina and Duke are getting everybody from around the country. So, I mean, if you're just recruiting Atlanta and only getting Georgia, I still don't think you'll do better than them. But if you're Georgia and you can put a fence up around, you got
Duke,
a different program.
Duke is getting good college players. They're not really looking at guys who can, you know, they getting guys that will come in and run that system.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. I need you to do that. I mean, I think Nolan Smith more talented than what we're seeing because he's in the Duke system. You feel what I'm saying?
He probably is, man. He probably shoots it well, gets where he wants to go.
He gets where he wants to go, but I think because he in that Duke system, that, well, you know, that's what I was going to see out of Nolan Smith. But, I mean, okay, if you get a coach in here, I'm not trying to.
You ain't taking this to race, huh?
I'm just saying it. Okay, if Calipari came to Georgia Tech, what we going to look like?
Well, that's different because you got your boy Worldwide West bringing in the top
exactly.
recruit. So that's a different story.
Exactly.
He's Calipari in there.
Okay, so we don't even need that. We don't even need that. Just think if we had, okay, what would you think the Georgia Tech would be if they had Bruce Pearl, Tennessee coach?
I'd say about the same. What he's doing in the SEC as far as that Tennessee team, he does a good job getting athletes and they run and it's good. But I don't think they would come to the ACC and dominate if Pearl was there and he started getting the same players against Duke and Carolina and Wake and those teams. I don't think they would dominate.
Yeah,
Pearl's a good coach too, but I don't see it going like that. It takes a lot to get over that prestige of Carolina Duke, man. They are going to reload. Carolina's going to come back with 3 or 4 more McDonald's All-Americans after this year.
Yeah, but I mean, but what I'm saying is when you're looking at Tech, now you're looking at you got 2 definite first-round picks on your team. And maybe a first-round pick, a third one, because of his size and his ability, and the scouts may come out to him. I mean, you look at Shumpert. Shumpert's 6'5".
He's got a long way to go. He's
got
a long way to go.
The problem is he's playing a point guard. He's not a point guard.
Yeah, I agree with that, 100.
So now you got him playing point guard. He's not a point guard. Just imagine what this guy could do at the 2 guard. He got size.
We gonna see what he's made out of these next couple of years, because I think personally I think Favors is gone, and I think probably the Wild is gone too. But
yeah, they first round Favors top 5, and they saying, well, most mock drafts got Favors in the top 5, and you got Luol going in top 15. So if you got 2 guys already gone, now what the front court gonna look like? Peacock probably gone also.
Yeah, but I don't think Lawal's going to make it to 15. I think those are I don't know, man. they're being a little nice on that one, man. I don't think it's going to happen for him. Not that I don't like Lawal, I just don't think he's that kind of player. Rebound is
a solid. I don't think he's that good either, but I think he'll be a solid guy
player.
Might play
10 years, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Might play 10 years, solid off the bench.
Mhm.
A good hustle play.
And the boy Favors, like I said, I said this last night, man. I think he has to put his name in the draft because I think coming back will hurt him more than anything, and end up like Greg Monroe. Monroe was a top 5 pick if they didn't have a rule to go to college. Now, hell, ain't no telling how far he might drop.
I mean, he running the wrong system. I mean, I like Monroe also.
I do too, but I agree with you on that. I don't like that Princeton system for him either.
I mean, some guys, man, are not just, you know, one guy that showed me that when he went to college, I was like, this guy is not, he's not fit for college because he's better than everybody playing with, but it don't look like it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was saying, you know, when Rondo was at Kentucky, a lot of people were saying Rondo is not, he's not ready. I said, man, Rondo's going to be better. Some of the passes he was making and guys weren't ready. He had no little pass he was throwing that they weren't even ready for.
Right.
I was like, no, Rondo is better than these guys. And a couple of guys, I don't know about that. I don't see it. I don't see Rondo. Rondo, now look at Rondo. Might be the best point guard in the league.
I was another one that was hyping Rondo too, man. You don't get that speed and quickness and that change of direction from anybody, man.
He played with Randolph Childress. He had nobody on his team. He had nobody on his team, man.
Yeah. That's what got Tubby fired. Hell, that recruiting class got Tubby fired because it was Rondo and pretty much a lot of guys who didn't live up to what they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Got Tubby kicked out of Kentucky, man, which after he won that title, you never thought would have happened.
Yeah, and you, when you talk to the Kentucky faithful, they say, well, he won that with Patino players, so.
Which is true.
Yeah, they still don't give him that credit.
It's true, but at the same time, those weren't Patino's best players. This was after Twan and Ron Mercer and Derek Anderson, all those guys left. He won with Jeff
exactly.
Shepard and Epps and those guys.
Exactly.
those wasn't his favorite guys.
Now, Tug is a good coach, like on-court coach. And seeing him being a recruiter, it's kind of hard to say, yeah, he's a good recruit. But on-court, like in a game situation, he makes things happen. I liked him when he was at Georgia.
Yeah.
And I liked him at Kentucky. I mean, he's just not
he got it done.
Yeah, he got it done. He's just not a good recruiter.
Yeah, because that talent drop-off from Patino to Tubby as far as what they were bringing in every year was crazy.
I mean, you sit down and you folks live with them, I guess it makes a big difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get some cash. Like I said, I mean, I ain't trying to insinuate that, but it
are you trying to say Kentucky's going to be on probation, sir?
I don't know if they're going to be on probation. I think, you know, I think he in the right place where he got backing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This time he got all the backing in the world. You know, all these other places he really didn't have, okay, he did it his way. And now it's like, okay, how you do it? We're going to make sure this don't happen. I think he's going to be around for it. Because where he going to coach after this?
There's no college job you leave Kentucky for. I mean, the only job you would go to is an NBA job. And I don't think he wants another NBA job after that first experience. So, yeah, I don't see him going from Kentucky to another school unless he's fired. And he would have to do something real stupid for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, that's kind of like the Kiffin thing. I mean, once you leave Kentucky, once you leave USC, where do you go now?
Mm-hmm.
So, and where are you going now? Now he's going to be in a mid-major again.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a mid-major. Calipari going to be in the tourney every year. You ain't going to hear about him until tourney time, but he's going to have a team that's going to make a run.
Right. And it's when you watch the tournament, that's what you see, the old skeletons of old young great coaches. You see Tom Pender's out there in Houston. He just resigned after making the tournament. But you see guys who are great coaches who had some type of problems with administrators or recruiting violations or something. And they end up in one of those small schools, but they always get them to the tourney.
Yeah, I always get them right back. And you're like, man. I mean, I think that's true talent, though. Yeah, I think he got backing, though, this time that it ain't going to. I don't think they're going to. From what I'm hearing, John Wall got the best GPA on the squad.
Hmm. That's good to hear, man. Good.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive when I heard that. I mean, he got the best grades on the team.
Right. The
point guard
has the least reason to. You know what I mean?
Right.
He still gets it done. That's something.
But
that's a team there, though, man. Him, character.
But is he gonna go to class after the tournament over? That's the question.
I wouldn't.
Is he gonna be? That's how Carmelo did. And when Carmelo tournament over, he was done with school.
Right. Pulling him and Melo and OJ, man. It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's over with. I'm done. I did what I had to do here.
You don't have to keep up the facade, man. We know why you came to school, to get to your profession, the NBA. Hell. What do the young tennis stars or young golfers go to school? When they're good enough or they're ready to go?
There they go. They go do their thing.
Hell yeah. I wish the D-League was a viable thing, like to where we've seen guys like John Wall and guys like that playing in the D-League instead of college. It'd be a lot more.
Yeah, that would be. That would be. I think it would be. But I mean, how do you go about doing that? You know.
Easy. You raise the pay in the D League, and you make it the big thing for certain small cities, and colleges would go back to having actual student athletes who's probably stayed 3 or 4 years, and people would know their names and everything else. They always tell us it's about the front of the jersey, not the back. I say prove it.
Yeah,
take the top talent out, prove it.
That's true. Well, like you said, so how do you go about, say you go in the D League, are you going to have a draft? Are you drafting, like, regular guys and then just throwing them in the D League and then say, okay, next year you're going to play for, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be hard.
No, I say like the, you do it like the major leagues. Everybody has an affiliate. And that'll be my basically your farm club, or just like Europe, they'll be playing in their farm club, which will be a small city. You'll get to see how the guy interacts with the media. You get to see how he acts with a little money before
he signs
his NBA contract. I would definitely want to see that.
Yeah, I actually like that, man. That's a pretty good idea. I actually like that. I would like to see that.
Hey, man, but with the NCAA and Stern in cahoots, it ain't happening, bro.
Wow.
He's got a free farm club. He's going to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, who would – I guess you would see certain guys develop, you know what I mean?
Watch guy go to the big club, man. That's always a good thing, man.
I'm saying to watch the college basketball. So that, I guess you would watch guys that actually develop over, you know what I'm saying?
Real, like I said, real student athletes.
Yeah, they would be real student athletes. You're right. I mean, because everybody else would be even in the D League.
Right. The guys who are real, real talented, top 100 or so, they would be in the D League. And you would find out certain guys will never play in the NBA, but they'll be able to make a living for years in the D League or go over to Europe and I think it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice. Somebody you could, like this year, you probably have a Tracy McGrady down in the D League. You know, to be, you know, trying to come back, you know.
In the same way Braves fans have watched Brian McCann and these guys, you know, come up, NBA fans will have the same thing.
You're right. That would be nice. I would like to see something like that. We might need to
start barking at David Stern on it. see what happens.
See what happens.
Probably not much, but hey.
It wouldn't because, like I said, you have to. I would like it because, like, I mean, you have to be a real true basketball fan to really follow this stuff. And then when it comes to the league, they ready. They ready
right.
When they get to the league.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it works good because look at the beat got sent down a while ago, you know, to everybody laughing at him, me included. He came back the other day, had 10 points the other night in the game, man. That's good to see, you know, the guy trying to work and develop.
Yeah.
At least
it's
something.
Well, I mean, you drop a guy number two, he's going to be ready. I like to see, send it out to the D-League. We want to get these guys some minutes. I can understand that, but a number two pick?
Right.
He need to be working with them guys every day.
Yep. I agree, man. Projects are for the end of the lottery. That's not a lottery pick.
Exactly.
You don't take on that kind of stuff that early, man. Hawks have been playing good lately. Lost the other night, but they've been playing good.
Yeah, last night the loss was horrible. Well, it wasn't horrible. It was just
it was on the end of a back-to-back. I give them that.
Yeah, though, you lose. It's the trend again, man. You got the trend of losing four-quarter leads.
Yeah, that's true.
And back-to-back or not, this can't happen.
I gotta say though, man. Shout out to the boy Al Horford, man, for punching on Tim Duncan. No respect for the old veteran, man.
No, he didn't give him none. He didn't give him no respect at all. Tim Duncan stood there like he told like he was looking at the ref like, you're not gonna call a foul on this guy? Just dunked on me. He can't dunk on me, you know.
He was shocked, man. That boy Horford brought it to him, man.
Yeah, Horford put it in his face then. I couldn't believe that either. I was like, man. I mean, he gave it to him like.
Yeah, that was nasty, man. Big Horford, he's putting it together, man.
Yeah, he really coming along, man. I like this team. I just don't know.
Are you still upset about the Jeff Teague situation? Feel like he's still not getting enough looks to where we see if he could be of use this year in the playoffs?
Exactly. With Teague, the situation with him is, I don't know if, I think it's our system.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just think it's the system. I mean, no point guard. I mean, this is the, third drafted point guard?
Yeah.
He's almost out the league. I mean, he's not out the league, but, I mean, he's not getting no run, not getting no playing time at all. And then when Bibby's in there, it's like, okay, Joe Johnson brings up the ball. Now your point guard supports stand-up shooter.
Right.
So is that what you want Teague to be? When Teague in there, he got to give it up to Jamal Crawford and let Crawford bring the ball up. What are you using your point guard for? So this
right.
is where I go ahead and try and tell people, like, if we were drafting Chris Paul, I don't know how good Chris Paul would be because of this system that we run in. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's.
Woody's too hard on the young dudes, man. He got them out there tense, and you know if they make a mistake, they're hearing that horn. I think Woody's definitely that's you know one flaw I see in Woodson, but I do like Woodson as a coach. But
like, okay,
yeah, guys out there nervous.
Stay over the summer, we try to since New Orleans kind of they look like they want to go in the direction of Collison. So say we trade for somebody like Chris Paul, we give up a Marvin Williams, Bibby, our first round pick or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's bring in a crazy package to get that boy, man. I love
what's
happening.
But I'm saying you bring Chris Paul here, now would that be an excuse? Now, okay, you say you got Chris Paul, then you sign Joe Johnson back, then you got Al Horford, Josh Smith. Now tell me, if we don't use the point guard then, if we don't let him do his thing, something ain't going to be right, man. I just don't know how he's using point guards right now. I don't understand it. But to his credit, the other guys are basically almost out of the league. It's not like,
yeah.
you know, they're going somewhere else and flourishing. Like
AC.
Yeah, AC Law and Stoudemire, I don't even know where he at.
Yeah, I think he was right on those two, but I don't think Teague is the same type of player.
Me neither. Teague I don't think
looks
he
like
an
NBA player.
Just like when he had Boris Diaw, I didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. I can't really bang on him for the Diaw thing because they had Diaw playing point, and he looked terrible out here, man. I was one of the people along with him, like, yeah, trade that much. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes to the post, and now he's a baller.
But now it makes you look at that, though, like that.
Yeah.
You look at it like, what are y'all, I mean, okay, if he was playing the point, I just think he had anybody playing the point. I mean, he used to have Josh Childress bringing the ball down, running the point.
When Joe first got here, remember, he had Joe playing the point.
Yeah, he had Joe playing the point.
Yeah.
So it was like, so now you go out and get a real point guard and you're still not using it.
Yeah.
You're still creating with Joe. You're still creating with Crawford. I don't know.
I guess that's the bad side of Woodson, the fact that he's a defensive coach, also in that Larry Brown mold. Offense is not as important to him, and then
but at
like
the same
said,
time,
get situations like this, and that's stopping us from being an elite team.
But like you said, he's a defensive coach, okay? If he's a defensive coach, he's not a better defender than Busy.
See, now there you go. Then now that gets into the hypocrisy of it, because you're like, okay, point blank period, there are certain points where Bibby cannot guard the other guy on the other team. There are certain
right.
stretches where he can't, period. Physically, he can't do it. So Teague should be in there. You're right.
He should be in there, but no, you want you. It seems like they bring in Jamal and let Jamal and Joe playing for a long time together. I mean, Jamal got to get his minutes, don't get me wrong. Jamal
right.
is exceptional off the bench. But,
yeah.
I mean, give Joe a little rest, a little more rest then, and let T play a little longer. I mean, somebody need to – he need to get in there.
Especially after what we seen last year with Joe and Josh, all of them legs were dead against Cleveland from playing too many minutes. We definitely don't need to see that again.
Definitely
they couldn't even be competitive because it was so fatigued. I mean, it wasn't really even a series.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on forever about Woodson, man, and his point guard stuff, man, but we got to get into a little NFL before we get out of here. We got a rule change, but looks like just the playoffs as far as overtime. I got that right?
Yeah.
This is my understanding of it. Basically, if a team wins the coin toss and kicks a field goal, the other team will get a possession.
Yeah.
So you won't lose 3-0 on a one possession in the playoffs.
Right. So basically, you get we would have seen Brett Favre get a chance, get some Super Bowl.
Right. Yep. And he would have thrown the pick. I just want to say that. He would have thrown another.
We would have had a chance to get him to go through Super Bowl. That's basically what that is. We didn't even get a chance to see him with the ball in overtime.
Right. So they're changing that, man. Brett Favre changes the game once again, man. At this point, man, Brett Favre's disdain for authority and management is making me start to like Brett Favre, man. The fact that Childress is coming down to his hometown, begging him to play, and, well, Brett will decide when he wants to decide. I'm starting to like Brett Favre now, man.
Yeah.
Just for being an a-hole about the whole situation.
I mean, the best way I can describe it, like my cousin says, like Ric Flair, man. I mean, he's doing what he want to do.
Right.
WWE, he do whatever he want to do now.
That's it right there, man. Brett Favre is Ric Flair of the NFL now, man. He does what he wants to do, makes his own rules. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Man, what about this trade, man, to send the boy from Clemson to Seattle out there with Pete Carroll? His name escapes me right now, man. Quarterback.
What's his name? Whitehurst.
Yeah, Whitehurst. They gave up a lot for Charlie Whitehurst, man. Never thrown a real NFL pass during a regular season game, really?
Well, to me, I guess they're looking at, I mean, he's always had the NFL body. And, like, he's
right.
one of those guys, if he would have came out a year earlier than he stayed, probably a top five pick. He's just in the wrong spot. Came out the wrong draft. So, I mean, I guess they feeling like they're getting something more. I mean, I feel like they're getting something, but I think they gave up a little too much anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not coming in and starting, right? I mean,
unless Hasselbeck is 100% healthy, I mean, he's going to have to. For that price, I mean, I know you got Hasselbeck for another year, but hell, he ain't been healthy in a while.
Yeah, he ain't stay healthy for 16 games of the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a big leap of faith there, man. That and the Jake DeLone deal where Cleveland paid Jake DeLome starter money.
Yeah, Jake DeLome is, I don't want to call him lucky. Lucky guy, man. I mean, lucky guy.
This dude has played the worst football of his life the last year and a half and has made the most money he's ever made playing football, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that was almost just like what T.O. got.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas gave him like $8 million to leave, right?
Yeah. Because Jerry jumped the gun and signed him before, that year before.
So then he ended up getting another $6 million from Buffalo.
Right.
Same season. Now this guy gets 12 to leave.
And another 7 to sign on with the new team. So, I mean, you can't beat that.
Can't beat that at all.
I think T.O.'s going to keep getting that mercenary money, though. Somebody else signed another one-year deal. I think he's going to keep getting that for a while as long as he can really hold up still. But he still looks like he's in excellent shape.
Yeah, he's playing very well. I think he's I would like to see him in Cincy. I don't know why they didn't. But, I mean, Antonio Brown, not a bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad option either.
Right, Antonio Brown can play. I'd like to see T.O. in Houston or San Francisco again.
I think he bought his bridge in San Fran.
Yeah, that probably would not happen. I was just throwing out where I'd like to see him go, man. Well, I think he could do a little something, but yeah. He probably did a little too much out there, man.
Yeah.
But, No, go ahead.
No, I just think football season is going to be interesting when they come down to the draft. I think we're starting to slow down a little bit, but next month after this tournament is done, I think football is going to become your number one thing again.
Mm-hmm.
The draft being on the Thursday night, I think that's when now we got true first day draft picks.
Right, right. That different format is going to be interesting. I want to see how it goes. I think I'm going to like it, though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like it. At first, I was thinking maybe Friday night, the first day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just doing the first round on Thursday, and then, like I said, they're cutting down on how long it takes to draft for a pick, per pick. I like it.
Yeah. The draft's gonna be interesting too, because we got the Tebow drama, and you got the drama of if Sam Bradford has changed the minds of some of these clubs and he moves into that top two or that top spot. So we got some interesting things going on. And the home team ATL, so they're looking at a couple of linebackers. They brought them in for workouts. Really don't know what direction they're gonna go now.
No, you don't know. You don't know. I got two picks I would like. I mean, with a first-round pick, they actually got two extra picks. They just got a third and a fifth for picked up from free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that first-round pick, man, I would like to see I like two guys, man. I like C.J. Spiller or Golden Tate. A Golden Tate out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that boy's a baller, man. Give Ryan another weapon.
But with the C.J. Spiller, you kind of getting a guy who, okay, now you got a punt returner. Now you got a kick returner. So now that brings a whole other aspect of the game that you didn't have last year. Last year, you didn't even have that.
Right.
Norwood don't give you that.
And I got to ask, if Spiller falls to him, is Norwood gone, in your opinion?
They gave him a second-round tender. I think he's gone, though. I mean, if the Spiller falls and they keep Spiller, now you have the option now on draft day. You can give up Snelling, who played very well. Somebody may want Snelling, and you end up getting another pick, moving up around. They still don't have a second round pick.
Right. And I think this new format is going to make people trade a lot because you got all this time in between, you know, with the one day and the next day.
Yeah, these guys are not going to sleep now, man. You don't have trades overnight. It's going to be it. You know, might wake up Friday morning, Michael Vick got traded.
Right.
You know?
That's another part of the drama of the draft. We don't know how that's going to play out. Hell, I mean, it's pretty much a done deal. They're not going to keep all three.
Yeah, I don't think they'll keep all, you know. So.
Yeah, so that Eagles drama, we got Big Ben's drama going on. I mean, NFL's still king, man, no matter what, man.
Yeah, all NFL is king. Yeah, people don't understand, you know, nobody's bigger than the league.
Right.
Nobody.
Even though the boy Trent Dilfer got on NFL Live and said verbatim, Brett Favre is the one guy who's bigger than the NFL.
Nah.
Your boy Trent Dilfer, he said it.
Nah. The reason why I say that, I mean, it's
whether he's there or not, the league's still going to be what it is.
The league's still going to be what it is. That's what Zach, you're going to watch football regardless.
Yep.
That city may take a little, and that certain city may say, oh, we're not as good, and we're not going to watch as much. But as the league as a total, you're going to watch football. You're going to watch the good teams. You're going to watch everybody.
Right.
You're going to see, you know, people sat and try to say for, I don't watch football because Mike Vick not here or whatever. I heard a lot of that, but you end up watching other games. So
mm-hmm.
You're going to watch football.
Yep. There was a lot of Vick fans and not Falcon fans, but they're still NFL fans. You know what I mean? Those ones who dropped out like that.
Yeah.
So like I said, they ain't going nowhere, so it'll be there, man. It's like when the baseball fans said after that strike, when they said they weren't coming back that next year.
Right.
They'll be there.
Yeah, they'll be there. You're going to be there.
Yeah. Man, anything you wanted to just spit out there, man, get off your chest about sports world, anything going on?
I'm trying to it was something I thought about yesterday that I wanted to say, but I can't even think of it now.
Yeah. It's all good, man, if it comes to you before we get out of here.
Yeah.
It's always next Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Always.
Yeah, man. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Giving it to y'all once again, man. Always coming with something, man. Another little controversy. Your boy Mayweather, him and Mosley took Olympic-style drug testing before their fight. Just a little shot at the boy Pac-Man.
Yeah, But, I mean, is it the first time both of them have done that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so, I just don't understand. If you never fought like that, these guys have been fighting for years. If no one's ever done that, why would you want me to do it now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's put a seed of doubt out there about the boy Pac-Man, and Pac-Man's going to have to do something to get rid of the doubt about it, but. A little gamesmanship, you know, mess with the guy a little bit. Sure, Pacquiao's a little heated about it.
No, I mean, they'll get the fight done. I think they'll get it done by the end of the year.
That's what I'm talking about. Want to see that done by the end of the year, man. So if boxing is still a viable sport, it has to happen.
Yeah, boxing just needs a couple of good heavyweights.
Oh, man, you ain't never lied on that one. That was a heavyweight fight this week. Nobody seen it.
Nobody knew about it. I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, Klitschko knocked out Eddie Chambers from Philly. Tough fighter, good fighter. But the boy Klitschko caught him good, man, knocked him out. I think it was on Versus in one of the stations. I seen it online, but yeah.
Wow.
Boxing, yeah, they got a lot of work to do in boxing, man. Heavyweight fight, nobody knows about it. It's bad business.
Yeah. They need a the same guy, man. Somebody the same.
Yeah.
Guess we would like to see somebody running mouth like Mayweather but big.
Right. That's all we want to see, man. Like I said before, man, bring Charles Oakley out, man. Let that dude fight or something, somebody.
Right.
Anything. But, yeah, man, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Host Nas Know-It-All, joined by Eastside Jam once again. You can catch him on this show every Tuesday. You can also catch him on beattwice.net on the Roundtable video show.
Yeah, see, they got another one up.
Oh, round new show table up?
Roundtable 4.
Roundtable Part 4. Check it out, beattwice.net. And you're on Twitter, right, sir?
Yeah, I don't too. I just pretty much follow people. I don't too much tweet too much.
Oh, okay.
Every now and then I might tweet, but it's at Eastside Jam if anybody's interested.
Okay. Yeah, I'm one of the few who ain't joined yet, man. I got to get on, man.
Yeah, I don't do the Facebook and all that either.
Yeah. I'm a throw back with you on that, man. I ain't no Facebook, no Twitter, none of that. I got to get on, though. I got to get on. But, yeah, man, you know, quick 45-minute show, man. We're going to get up out of here. But you definitely catch us next Tuesday, man. Speaking Like You Think It Radio, man.
All right, man.
Thanks for coming on, sir. Yeah,
no problem.
Easy, man.
All right now.